So in these 45 minutes, what I want to do is very briefly go into the Uvchains. And again, I would like to hear a recording of the Uvchain that Chaim did.
Page 139.
I want to hear a recording that was done by Chaim. I think it's in record number 3.
It's
three, number 8. Okay, number 4.
Three.
Number 8. Oefgeen seems like a perfect Dutch word. Notice that the Nusach is very simple. Okay, so
it's very simple, Nusa.
Yeah.
It should stay very simple because you had half an hour for the Avot, the Musa Kaddish, beginning of the Amidah, Unetan Tokif, the Kiddusha, people be standing, you know, they're tired, lots of beautiful music, give them some rest. Yeah. And this simple Nusa, for one, give some rest before you
talking about
before you get to the Aleinu. Aleinu, and the whole show in the Malchus and the Wayward Cats. So give them a, sorry? This is the Amidah. Yes, it's also an Amidah. They say it's harvest evening, isn't it?
No.
Shacharit, yes, same.
In Shacharit and Musaf, it's the same. Kedushat Hayom, the beginning of Yishev Kedushat Hayom, Kedusha is the same, and therefore it's exactly the same texts
but then
there are differences after the three Uvchains. There are some differences in the text, but
Gilad did a Musaf Uvchain yesterday morning that was quite different.
It's the same simple Nusach on Shacharit and Musaf. Now, you may want one Uvchein maybe to embellish it more on the Musaf, a little bit more than what you did on Shacharit, just to make a little bit of a variety. But it doesn't have to be, you know, a big, make a big festival on it. Just very simple, a bit more embellishment that you have. In Lewandowski, there is the same nusach with some kind of more embellishment that you can find on in the Kol Rinau Tfilah, page 107, number 167.
I'm recording that.
Okay, so you can do it a little bit. Lewandowski has sometimes it goes higher. Here it goes. Very simple. And Lewandowski goes up to the more on the octave of it.
So.
Yeah, so you can do some more embellishment, but keep it as David said to the simple, because of logistical, how should I call it, logistical questions that you have there. So I wanted to just alert you to that and use the recordings to work on this nusach now. What is very good about this nusach, the simple nusach, that it allows you then later on to develop your own style of nusach, and you can, once you internalize the uvcheins, then if you have another piece of nusach in the same area, like v'timloch ata Adonai al kol ma'asecha, then you can use this and a little bit develop it more out of your own. On page, let's say 141, you have a Timloch Ata Adonai Levadecha Al Kol Maasecha. The Ubchains will be your basis for developing it a little bit more. This is why I thought it was important for you to study the Ubchain.
And you can also use it for Kadosh Ata and
Atav HaKartanu. Yes, Kadosh Ata, all these places you can do. Of course, you may want to insert some melody at some place, but be mindful of the congregation and don't overburden them. So, for instance, if you do the all of the Uvcheins, and then comes the Ve'etayu Kol Le'ovdecha, and you sing the big melody of Lewandowski, Ve'etayu Kol Le'ovdecha, that it will shine like a diamond among all these uvcheins, and then you go back to that kind of simple nusach. So you want, sometimes you want to go out of the nusach into a melody which is very beautiful, and then you go deeply into the simple nusach. That is the one of the rules that you want to observe. Okay, so I thought we shouldn't dwell too much on that, and we should go a little bit to discuss the shofar service. We discussed the shofar service already yesterday, and my question is, we had a master shofar player, shofar blower, and that is Tom, and he did it wonderful, and God only give him power for at the end of Yom Kippur to do a good kiyag, you know, the longest one that one can get, and that would be very nice. But the question, my question is, how many of you blow the shofar?
Oh, I don't.
Such a small.
We've done it before.
So
you did?
No. Who did?
I said we have had shofar blowing workshops before, yes. Not with this group, but
I just had MP3s.
If you blow the trombone, yeah, then you have to
quite different. I should that's one of the moment. Let's go to the liturgy of it. That's
right. Okay, so I think it's not very difficult to learn If you do it, not everybody can do it, of course, as Tom did it yesterday, but I think you can learn of it, and sometimes you have no choice but to do it. If you're in a small congregation, you have to do many, many things. As a chazan, I prefer not to do shofar blowing and sing, because it's kind of it puts a lot of pressure on you, and that's difficult. Although I did it for many years.
If you are in Israel, it may be worthwhile to go to the shop and get yourself a shofar. Not a too small one, because shofar is very personal. It has to fit your mouth and your teeth. So they are very different. Try them out. If you find a shofar that suits you, then it should be easy to blow. Not much power, just with the lip.
I have one at home that seems to be fine, and it comes like sound of easy.
Yeah.
But it's not that I can blow those tikiyas and tabuas like without any practice or workshop.
Okay, you need to learn that.
You need that. Yeah, first thing you need is a shofar, and what I'm saying is, if you can't blow on one shofar, maybe you can blow very well on another one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a matter of trying it out, how the mouthpiece fits your mouth. I'm just saying that because otherwise you may just try a few and it doesn't work. You say, I can't do that. But there's no sense.
Now about a side issue of the shofar. Yesterday we saw that Tom was covering his head with a talit. And he, David asked him, why do you do that? And the answer was, because I'm used to do it. Now, why are you used to do that? That's the question now that we have to ask Tom. Do you have any reason why you do it?
Well, I see it. Other people do it.
Why do they do it? Why do they do it?
And somehow when I do it, it's kind of concentration also.
Okay. Now, they do it because of a certain superstition that goes with it. In other words,
why do they do it in the Leila? And do the Amidah also in the Leila?
No, for some people, the proper way of wearing a talit is over the head and the shoulders and every and part of the body. In the Polish tradition, that is, in the Hasidic tradition, this is the case. And also in the Sephardic tradition, if you see 18th century engravings of the Sephardic Portuguese synagogue, you will see that the men wear the talit over their heads and on their shoulders, but not on each part of the body. They wear it on their heads. Like this, only the chazan, there, if you look very carefully, he wears the talit over the head and on the back, or the shoulders on the back. All the rest wear shorter talitot, and they go only over their heads. But for the shofar blowing, there was an Ashkenazi tradition, not the Sephardi, an Ashkenazi tradition that you cover your head not only up to here, but up to here, so that the shofar blower is covered. And the reason for that is that the shofar brings the prayers of God to the prayers of Israel to God by that sound. And of course, there is one person who is not interested in that, and that's Satan. Satan, he's not interested in that the prayers of Israel will go up to God. Therefore, what the Satan does, he pushes himself into the shofar and does not allow the shofar blower to blow. This is why some shofar blowers, according to this tradition, cannot blow the shofar properly, and all of a sudden nothing comes out.
So he can't.
So if you cover, you hide yourself from the satan.
You cover also the shofar.
Yeah, and you the shofar you have somehow to use. So what people do is that they will not reveal the shofar until the time for the tikiyot. In other words, the shofar is on the pulpit but covered very carefully, or put into a kind of a cloth so that it is hidden from everybody.
And now only they always do always say it has to have the right temperature.
Yeah,
so keep down your jacket
yes.
on.
Now I think that I've talked to the Satan and
you have good connections
every morning.
You have good connections with the sun.
And he told me that he selects only those who did not practice the shofar blow.
So Tom, you are on the safe side.
He doesn't touch anybody who really practices the shofar blowing very well ahead of time. So that's the secret. The secret is really to practice it and not to have this kind of ideas. In Kabbalistic laws and in Hasidic law, there is lots of attachment about the meaning of shofar and how the Satan is trying everything in his power to prevent the shofar blowing in that. But the truth of the matter is that if you're practicing well, good chances are that you're going to do the shofar right. So I just wanted to bring it where this tradition comes from of the hiding your face actually when you are blowing the shofar. All right, now to the liturgy of the shofar. In the traditional liturgy of the shofar, the beginning of the shofar blowing is a psalm. You chant a psalm. The congregation chants a psalm, and after that, the shofar blower chants with the congregation six verses. The first verse beginning with Kuf. The second verse with Resh, the third word with Ayin, the fourth Sin, then Tet, and then Nun. Kra Satan, tear out the Satan. That is a hint, a kind of a prayer, that Satan will not be able to govern the shofar blowing. So that is part of the. Now, in the reform movement, we kind of dissociated ourselves from the Satan, and we don't believe in him.
I won't tell you now. Over lunch, maybe a few words.
Ayin, Sin, Tet, Nun. Tet, Nun.
A lot of Satan in the Jewish thinking. Also, a lot of the angels we don't believe in.
Okay, so these are psalm verses selected from various psalms, and these constitute the beginning of the. Shofar blowing. Then in some traditions, the Sephardi tradition, for instance, there is a prayer that, a silent prayer that the shofar blower is supposed to say before shofar blowing, saying that these blasts of the shofar should be accepted by God as the prayers or as the sacrifices in the temple. In the Sephardi tradition, there is also a long poem, which is called Et Sha'arei Ratzon Leipateach. Et Ein Taf Sha'arei Ratzon Leipateach. And this is a wonderful, wonderful poem about the Akedah. Et Sha'arei Ratzon Leipateach, a very long poem about the Akedah, with all sorts of stories of the Midrashim put into poetry. And this is a time of great excitement in the Sephardic synagogue. People cry. during this this poem. Especially, there is a part in the poem where Yitzhak says to Abraham, his father, tell my mother what you've done to me. And this is, I'm getting excited when I when I'm. It's so beautiful.
Where do you find this?
In the Sephardic Machzorim. And if it not were not for logistical reasons that David is keeping time for the service, so that we are not overdoing the service, I would very much recommend that one day it would be placed back in placed in the Ashkenazi and Machzor.
It may be added in as an additional thing, an illustration or a meditation or something in a new Machzor.
Yeah, I think it's so beautiful.
It's so good that you can't have it all in the service, but you can have it all in the sort of commentary, additions, readings.
I think it's. But as such, this is in the Sephardi tradition. In the Ashkenazi tradition, if you take out that Satan kind of verses, there is nothing really before the brachot of the tkiot. So, in the Reform movement, everything was taken out, and what remains are the brachot that are pronounced before the tkiah. And yesterday we talked about that in spite of the fact that the bracha is about listening to the sound of the shofar, which is really is the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to listen to the sound of the shofar. The one who pronounces this brachot is usually the shofar blower. But if the shofar blower cannot do that, this can be done by the prompter, by the one who says tikiyah shvarim teruah tikiyah, and or by the chazan. So now what we need to do is to learn the melody properly. We went through it yesterday. I want to go through it again to make sure that everybody knows the bracha. Remember, it starts as the bracha before the Megillah, Megillat Esther, the reading of the Megillah, and in some congregations also the Hallel is said in the same bracha, not in all congregations. Okay, so let's do it. Says Amen. Don't rush into the second bracha. Now we go to the second bracha. David also mentioned that on Pesach, in Carlton's distinction from Rosh Hashanah, you do Shechianu on both days. After the Kiddush, you do Shechianu on both days, on the first night and the second Seder night. And I must tell you something about that. There were many debates about that in the Halacha, whether you should do it or you should not do it on the second Seder night. And the solution for that was that you buy yourself a new fruit and you preserve it for the second Seder night. So you halachically write a new fruit that you have not eaten for an entire year.
So you put a melon on the table on the second night. So the children would ask, why not an orange?
So the idea is that you wear, or some people used to wear new clothes on the second day of on the second Seder. They would wear new clothes, and when you wear new clothes, you also halachically you're supposed to say Shehechiyanu, and therefore it is done like that. In the Sephardic tradition, there was also a minhag to say Shehechiyanu under the chuppah, that the chatan, the groom, pronounces Shehechiyanu under the chuppah. But in order not to make it halachically wrong, he used to wear a new talit. They would buy him a new talit for that purpose.
The problem with Shehechiyanu under the chuppah, and that's the bar mitzvah, is that you're supposed to say to someone which regularly reoccurs.
Well, in modern times, that's quite
true. Hate become actually possible.
So, modern times, there's no problem.
Okay. All right. Now, please remember that this Shehechiyanu is also pronounced after Kol Nidrei. Let me see, you have it in the liturgy. Which page would it be?
It's page 164.
Immediately after
Venislach.
Okay, Slachna Lavonam. Vayomer Adonai Salachti Kidvarecha. After that, you say Shehechiyanu.
Yeah, same one.
Yeah, and why do you say Shehechiyanu at that particular point? Because you do not have on Yom Kippur, you do not have kiddush to say Shehechiyanu for the holiday. Usually, the Shehechiyanu is attached either to candle lighting. The women used to say Shehechiyanu when they lit the candles for Yom Tov. After that, they would say Shehechiyanu on the first day of Yom Tov. The men used to say Shehechiyanu in the Kiddush after they finished Baruch Atah Adonai Mekadesh Yisrael Ve'azmanim. Then comes Shehechiyanu V'kivanu V'igyanu L'azman Hazeh. On Kol Nidre night you do not have a Kiddush, therefore the Shehechiyanu is done after Kol Nidre. And the Shehechiyanu is done to the same melody as you do for the Shofar. Okay?
After the Shofar, you're going to put the Ashrei Ha'am and the
Etruah? Yeah, this is about the Shehechiyanu, what we'll talk about. Now let's go to the Tkiot. Helma, master of the Tkiot in one style. There are two styles, or more than two styles, of doing that. So could you teach us a little bit about what you do? Yeah.
Well, it's quite simple, I think.
Okay. So it's a very simple melody. Two notes. You could change that a little bit and say tekiya instead of tekiya, tekiya.
That's enough.
Okay? So it'll be more.
And what when she does the second version, what is he going to blow? The same as it. On the first,
what do you mean?
When you sing Tekiyah, he has to blow.
Same thing.
The same thing. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just prolongs. The word is
Tekiyah. Yeah. Not Tekiyah. The pronunciation is Tekiyah. Therefore,
the point that was made is that what you want to do is not just call the name, but also call the sound. So the shofar blower should have support on both.
Right, and it has a hint for both.
No. Yes.
Yeah.
He hears the sound of what he's going to blow.
Right. So that's in this time. Okay. And now shevarim.
And when you call out, follow with your finger in the text. Keep your finger on the word you are. Before you know, you mess up yourself. You don't know where you are.
Yeah. That is true. That is absolutely true. Yeah. You have to keep mark exactly so that you don't repeat anything or you don't skip anything.
Yes.
Okay. And now shevarim.
Shevarim.
Okay. Shevarim tahav. And the teruah. The teruah is in the material.
Teruah.
Wow. Okay, can we try? Okay. And then comes tekiya again.
Tekiya.
Oh, if you want. I don't want to show. Yeah, right, tekiya. Okay, it's the same thing. I don't want to ruin your beautiful way of doing. So, let's learn it. Tekiya taram. That's very simple. Or tekiya. Let's try tekiya. Tekiya. Now shevarim.
Shevarim.
1, 2, 3. Shevarim. And teruah.
Shevarim.
Okay, fine. And teruah.
Teruah.
Okay, right. That's very nice.
And it should you say it together, Shevarim Teruah?
Yeah. Now, when you have Shevarim and Teruah, the tradition is we don't have to be absolutely religious about that, but the tradition is to say Shevarim Teruah together. So it would be Tekiya Shevarim Teruah. Together, and then tekiya. Okay. Now, if it confuses the shofar blower, then don't do that.
I'll discuss it with him beforehand. In any case,
yeah.
He's prepared and knows how to do it.
And why is it tradition to?
As I said, the traditionally the reason why we have shevarim and teruah is because people could not decide.
Yeah.
What
we had that yesterday. You know.
Yeah, right. So we don't need to dwell on that. Okay.
Yeah.
Now there's one thing remaining. Helma. Tekiya gedola.
Tekiya gedola.
Okay. Now, when you do that, Helma, when you do that, do it a little bit longer. Tekiya gedola. So you prepare. Why is that? When you do this rhythm, tekiya gedola, then it relaxes the shofar blower and it takes more breath.
Okay.
So you have an influence on the shofar blower.
Yes, but I thought perhaps it would be a bit competitive to do
that. It'll be all right. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Blow you. Blow your own trumpet, they call it.
Okay. So. No. Not this. No. Okay, fine. All right. After the tekiot, the chazan should sing Ashrei Am Yodei Teruah. And we talked about that yesterday, and Petra sang for us the Ashrei Ham. In the meanwhile, I found the music exactly in Lewandowski, and it is in the Todah V'Zimra, part 2, page 186, number 179.
Part 2.
Page 186, number 179. You have the exact melody.
Can I ask someone who's made notes of all these page numbers and which piece they belong to, make a list? I don't know if anybody got this right. It's very useful to have, and even to note in your book where the things are. Someone can make a list of all of the names of the piece, page numbers, and where you find it in which book, and you can send it around.
Oh.
I didn't make the notes, so I never have it.
Who noticed all it?
In the Lewandowski music, you have the three verses, Ashrei Am Yodei Teruah, on page 127, Ashrei Am Yodei Teruah, Ashrei Yoshvei Beitecha, and Ashrei Am Shekachalo. All three verses sung to the same melody. Ashrei Am Yodei Teruah, Adonai Beor, Panecha Yeralechun. You sing it a little bit differently, but it's the same melody. It's the same melody.
It's very nice.
And then Yoshver Veitecha, Od Yeralelucha Shekachalo Ashrei Am She'Adonai Elohav.
If we have the Ashrei Yoshvei Beitecha before, we have it also always before the Musaf, before this, before the Shofar. Yeah.
No, we don't. We have it at the camp speed.
At the end of the...
No, the end of
the book prayer of Torah.
Yes,
that's right. But that's...
So we do this earlier than this shofar.
Yeah. No, this is the same Ashrei here that we have in this, during the regular service for the back to Torah. Only now it's a different melody.
I know, but it's earlier in the service.
No, it's never seen.
No,
we haven't brought the Torah back yet.
No, it's a place where
The Torah comes, bring back the Torah after.
The shofar service. The shofar service itself. The idea. Gilad. Let me explain that for a minute. The idea, you remember that we talked about the certain functions that you do before the Aleinu on Maariv service. All sorts of functions that you do, Kiddush, and all sorts of things which have to the day. You read the Megillah before Aleinu, the Count the Omer before the Aleinu. Now, it was considered a very good thing to have certain prayers and certain ceremonies while the Sefer Torah is with you. While the Sefer Torah is with you, and Yizkor is one of them,
Rosh Chodesh
Benchen.
The prayer for the country.
They're
all at the same place here.
Yeah.
And they're all liturgically at the same place. So the shofar. Now, it's very interesting to note that in the Talmudic times, this is called blasts of the shofar were called tkiot de meyushav, tkiot of sitting. While the tkiot during the Malchuyot Zichronot Shofrot were called the tkiot de meumat, tkiot of standing. And if you look carefully at the plates of the Sephardi synagogue in Amsterdam, you will see there is a plate of shofar blowing, and people are sitting during the shofar blowing. Mm-hmm. And that's tkiot de meyushav. During this tkiot, before returning the Torah to the Ark, people used to sit. But then it became... No, you don't do such a thing in the presence of the Torah and things like that. Therefore, people are now standing for it. So this set of tkiot is done before returning the Torah to the Ark. Therefore, this Ashrei that you have now is in preparation of moving the Sefer Torah back to the Ark.
But you use the same melody.
Right.
The first Ashrei, which we haven't done before, but we're now learning it.
Yeah, it's a very beautiful melody and should be preserved. Okay, and this closes off. The actually is shofar blowing and announces the returning of the Torah to the Ark. But va'anachnu nevarechia at the end is not sung according to va'anachnu nevarechia or tilat Adonai yedaber pi. At the end of the Ashrei, should be sung as usual when you return the Torah to the Ark. You sing Va'anachnu, yeah?
Hang on. I missed it. You sing here the three verses.
Yeah.
Right.
This yes. on the same melody as the Ashayam Yodeat Teruah.
Right.
Yes.
Then
you go back to bring the Torah back.
Bring the Torah back, and then you sing Va'anachnu Nevarecha.
Yes, you don't sing the Ashrei once again.
No, you don't need to.
Okay,
you don't need to.
Okay, so you have here Va'anachnu.
You don't. Do you read the entire Ashrei?
We don't.
You don't. So you go to Va'anachnu Nevarecha, offer Tehilat Adonai if you prefer to do so. Tehilat Adonai Yedaber Pi. And in a regular way. How would you do it in a regular way? Hallelujah. And then you hallelujah, as usual.
Yeah. No, we have a different hallelujah
okay,
on the high holidays.
How do you sing the hallelujah on the high holidays? What's your nusach for the high holidays?
Hallelujah.
But you see, it's also in the major and fits very well into this entire
yes.
scheme. And which Hodo Al Eretz do you sing on? Okay, that's Zulzer Hodo Al Eretz. Okay, fine. So, and of course, don't forget, if Rosh Hashanah is on a weekday, then and you have a long processional, then Le David Mizmor La Adonai Eretz Mulah San. Number 24, and there is a melody recommended that we have. There are other melodies. You're going to put it on the.
Yes, it's already on.
It's already there. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, yesterday there was. Please remember. Yesterday, when we returned the Torah on Shacharit to the Ark. David had some other things. He wanted to assure something of the continuation of the service. And therefore, he was not present at the Ark. And what happened was that whoever carried the Torah for too long, after Hodor Aleretz and Mizmor Le David and things like that, returned the Torah to the Ark and then sing Uvnucho Yomar. Don't sing Uvnucho Yomar while you're holding the Torah.
Okay? Second of silence, I can see.
Yes.
Yeah.
You count at the end of the psalm, and you give the Torah, and when it's there and it's fixed, then you start to bring it back. Or Kile Kachtovich, that's what it's called.
Okay, so this is about the shofar service and the returning Torah to the Ark.